Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, well, well. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you so much, as always, Isaiah, for introducing this show and helping make Home-Based Business 101, the number one home-based business show here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, I want to thank the 22,704 listeners, hey, steady climbing each day, for tuning in to one of the shows that we do here on Home-Based Business 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. It truly is listener-supported radio, and we want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to listen to one of our broadcasts. Well, today's show and topic is called What is Your Why? You're listening to Baba Jahi here on Home-Based Business 101, and this is our Sunday show. It's the theme is the gospel of working from home, and today we're going to talk about what is your why? What is your why? You know, what is your why? Why are you doing what you're doing? And break that down a little bit before I really want to focus heavy on this morning, because see, when we get involved in something, we need to have a reason why. You know, what is it that drives us? See, and I remember when talking with a person who was doing a workshop one time for people that's involved in our business, and they were saying, if you don't have a why that'll make you cry, that'll bring tears to your eyes, then you need to rethink, because you must don't have a why big enough. So a lot of times people get into something that says, well, I just want to make a lot of money. Why? See, making a lot of money, that's abstract. That's subjective. You know, I mean, to do what with? And for why? See, they're all going to boil back down to that why. You know, I'll share some things with you. You know, part of my why is, you heard him, he introduces his show, my grandson. You know, it's some special things. And they're special and they're near and they're dear and they're really close to my heart. So, you know, can't share all of them over the airwaves here. But it's some things that me and him talk about all the time. You heard he said, you know, my best friend. Yes, he is my best friend, and I am his best friend. You know, we have a bond because of some things that we've had to go through together, some things that I've helped him go through together. And you know, he's, besides my wife, he's one of the reasons that keeps me going every day in terms of living and waking up each morning and having a special mission in life of what I want to be able to achieve. See, and the other side is that, you know, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And, you know, my grandson, you know, very special, gifted child. And I just want to make sure that I do my part to leave a legacy that will help him navigate his way with his own creativity and other things through this maze called life. Because too often, you know, our children, when I look at children, and you know, you notice this, Mom and Baba Jahi with Movements Unlimited, we primarily specialize as our 501c3 is a youth and family development corporation. We've been working with children for over 20 years. And, you know, I just see a sad state of affairs when it comes to children and people really caring. I mean, Marvin Gaye had a song out, you know, Who Really Cares? Who's Willing to Try to Save a World that is Destined to Die? He says, when I look at children today, they're going to really suffer tomorrow. Who cares about children? I mean, another person that cared about children a lot, you know, was MJ, Michael Jackson. I mean, but who really cares about children, concerned about children? And so, you know, that's part of, you know, my why is, besides my grandson, in terms of the business that me and my wife have with our nonprofit, you know, we deliberately, after learning issues from other nonprofits and learning what the big nonprofits do, we needed to have a for-profit business, and so we sought out, and we found one that matches what we like doing, because we don't want to be grant dependent, and so that's the other reason why we do our for-profit business, is so that we can free ourselves up from dependency relationships. Now, a lot of nonprofits, you know, their whole thing is the grant. And when grants, they're not able to get grants, what happens? They can't fulfill their mission. They dry up. Plus, the grant thing is a big myth anyway. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've received some. But most of the time, you spend a lot of work putting together proposals, and you get more Dear John letters than you get, hey, we're going to fund you. I mean, you always get that nice letter, hey, you know, what you're doing is a worthwhile cause. It really sounds great. And but we, you know, we're unable to fund you. And then we learned a secret. Yeah, you heard me say it, a secret. If you really, you know, you really want to participate in that grant world, you need to find out who's on the board that makes the decisions. Each grant that we got funded for that was, you know, some substantial, you know, amount of money, we knew somebody on the board that made the decisions. See, people don't like to believe that that's how it's done, but that's really how it's done, people. See, you need insider information. See, now they're going to tell you, oh, no, we don't, you know, it's nothing, it's very objective process. No, it's, yeah, they're going to, you got to meet all of the criteria. You got to have your paperwork in order. You got to have, I mean, they got some, you turn in the grant. If your margins aren't correct, they don't even read it. They take out a ruler and they see if did you follow putting the margins in correct. And if they're not correct, they don't even read the daggone thing. Just throw it away in the trash can. See, but the other side is this: if you got everything in order and you got somebody that's on the board, then what they're going to do is they're going to lobby. See, it's politics. They're going to lobby your proposal. And they, you know, and it's just like politics. They tell other people on the board, well, if you want me to vote for that one over there, I need you to vote for this one over here. People don't want to believe it works like that. But I'm telling you, I know. So I say that to say this. If, you know, you have a nonprofit out there, you know, and you're trying to get funded, you better go find out who's on that board and see about talking to them about your group and your organization. And if you don't know any of them personally, find one, take them out to lunch. That's what the lobbyists do to the politicians, and you have to learn to do the same thing. So that being said, see, that takes me back to my why. That's why, you know, one of our whys was that we needed to build us a for-profit business, because we know in order to do the work that we want to do for young people, we can't be dependent upon being able to get to every person on every board or these different funding agencies. So we said we have to fund ourselves. So I'm going to give you some help today. You know, what I want you to do, and, you know, this is in the show description also, so, you know, if you can listen, but you can also go back to the show description and you can copy this down. Find a quiet place with no distractions, a sitting that allows you to get in touch with yourself. Take your time with this process. Don't rush through it. Your personal reasons why may come to you in an instance, or you may find you want to think about it over time. But, you know, the thing is, you know, finding a quiet place. One of the things that me and my wife has done a lot, especially when we was in Baltimore, Maryland, and we was building there in terms of we ran a culture center for 14 years there before we had a family tragedy that we had to respond to. And so then we had to shut that down and deal with our family situation, and then we started rebuilding. It took 6 years out of our life to take and deal with a family situation, and you know, and we finally started rebuilding around 2007, 2008. You know, getting back on the move in terms of what we're doing. But one of the places we used to go to was Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. We would go to the mountains. It was a hotel there called Hilltop House Hotel. very, I mean, you know, the rooms, I mean, were great because the other side of the rooms was no TV in it. No television, no television. Yeah, you know what I call television, television, you know. And so, you know, we was able to not have any distractions, and we could sit and listen to the wind blow, listen to the birds chirp, and just focus and get in touch with ourselves. Got in touch with our collective why one, you know, why we're together as a couple and what we want to achieve collectively. And then we would take time and give each other time and space to work on our personal whys. So you got to find a place, a quiet place where there's no distractions. I mean, if it's the beach that does that for you. I mean, one of the things that helped me when I was in college, when I went to University of New Orleans, and helped me stay focused. I used to, you know, I was president of NAACP, and I was very much involved in a lot of things. So, you know, a lot of times we involved in a lot, but if we don't find that quiet time to help us reflect, then, you know, we just doing without knowing why we're doing what we're doing. And so one of the places I used to go to was this place called Past Christiane, which is along the Gulf Coast, and it's in Mississippi. It was like about the Bay of St. Louis area along the Gulf, and it would take me from leaving from New Orleans in my car, it would take me about 35, maybe about 40 minutes to get there from New Orleans. And I would go, I had a hatchback car, and you know, I would go and I could find me a spot. That's one of the things about the Gulf that was so beautiful before Katrina. I haven't had a chance to visit some of the spots along the Gulf that they rebuilt. But and then also now with that oil thing down there, I mean, it's really messed it up too, is that you could go find a space along the beach where nobody else would be. And I would go and sit and just listen to the water, you know, a quiet place where there was no distractions. And sometimes I would spend the night there. I had a sleeping bag, you know. I put my sleeping, lift my hatchback up, roll and put my seat down, stretch out, sleep there, look at the stars, listen to the water, and think about the things that I wanted to do in life. See, that you got to get in touch with your personal reason of why you want to do so. So number one, you got to ask yourself, what is my true reason for wanting, you know, in this case, a lot of people listening to this show, financial independence. So, you know, we're going to use that as a theme. I mean, it could be have a successful marriage, whatever it is that, you know, you want to find a why around. But if we take, say, financial independence, since this is home-based business 101, and a lot of people, you know, are focusing in on that, why do you want to be financially independent? You know, and for me and my wife, financial independence, you know, means being able to have control over our time, control over our destiny, and being able to do some things for our family and loved ones that we're unable to do right now because we want to get on, as we say, we want to get on the other side of money. And so you ask yourself, what is the true reason for wanting to be financially independent? So you just can't say, because I want to have a lot of money. That's abstract. That's subjective. That's not objective. That's not going to allow you to push forward to do what you need to do to make it happen. Because just having a lot of money for the sake of having a lot of money, see, it's not going to drive you. Believe me, it won't. You can think it will, but it won't drive you. But if it's something special that you want to do for somebody in your family, if somebody has an issue or need, and you say, well, I need to become financially independent because I'm tired of seeing that type of suffering. I want to change that. See, then you wake up in the morning, you know why you're pushing yourself. You know why you go on that extra appointment. You know why you make those extra calls. See, because I told you, my why, you know, you hear it, he introduces this show. So that's what pushes me, you know. It pushes me and pushes me because there's some things that I want to be able to do. One is I want to be able to make sure that he does not have to stay in public school for so long. See, that's a real driving factor because public school, from my perspective, is nothing but a training ground for mediocrity. You know, a way to teach children how to conform and accept as opposed to be creative and think, you know. And unless, you know, you find another way to deal with, you know, educating your child. See, I'm not against education. I'm just against the way it's structured today. And I don't want that to contaminate my grandson's mind. He has a very creative mind. And I've seen how children who are very creative, how public school destroys them. And so I don't want him to be in that institution but so much longer. You know, my goal is to be able to get him out of there by the end of 2011, 2012 at the least, so that, you know, he can have another form of being educated to be able to go about doing the things that he wants to be able to get done in life and have some different kind of choices. So that's one of my other whys, is that, you know, and I know that, so that means I got a time frame that I have to accomplish things in. Other than that, he's going to be in that institution, and then I got to try to, you know, undo what they do. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, what is your reason for wanting to be financially independent? Think about it. What would you do if you never had to work again? Come on, people. I want you out there thinking. Those just got to, you know, today is Sunday morning. A lot of you got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Do you know that the number one day of the week in which people have heart attacks is on Monday morning, is Mondays? I wonder why. Is there a correlation between heart attacks and going to a job that you can't stand? What would you do if you never had to work again, people? See, that's, you know, and so you got to look at this financial independent thing deeply, because, you know, when you don't have to go work. See, now when I say work, I'm talking about working for somebody else. I work for myself. So some people say, well, you still work hard. No, but it's fun. I enjoy what I do. As Les Brown said, you know, when it becomes fun, then it's not work anymore. It's play. What I do is like play. I taught a class yesterday. It was play. Yeah, people call it work, but it was play. It was fun for me. I was educating people. Had a gentleman that came in yesterday who, you know, because he needed to know how to be able to set up his email. And, you know, and he was like, oh, I just appreciate you taking the time to show me how to get an email account and be able to access that. And, you know, took time with him. You know, some other people probably would have looked at him and said, you know, that guy looks homey and, you know, like a bum or whatever. You know, he's, like he said, he's in transition. And so I like his attitude. You know, he's in transition. You know, some things have happened, and he's in transition, transitioning himself from what has happened to him to where he wants to get to. And one of the things he knows, he needs some computer skills. So he comes to my online consumer awareness class that I do on Saturdays at the public library here. And, you know, other people say, you sit down with him and you, because it's fun. See? And people, how much you get paid to do that, Brother Jahi? Well, you know, that's part of our mission through our nonprofit. My pay is being able to see that I'm helping people. See, we raise money through our nonprofit that helps take care of me and my wife's needs. So it's not about each person that I help, how much did I get paid to help that specific person. I get paid overall to do what I do, but what I'm doing, I'm not doing it necessarily for the money. Yeah, the money comes, but I'm doing it because of my love for humankind and being able to share, and especially, you know, love for my own kind, my people. Next is, what if you had all the time in the world to spend exactly as you wanted? See, that's a dangerous question right there, because most people, we're not used to having time freedom. See, and it gets, you know, I've known people, when a lot of people retire from their job, they usually die in 2 to 3 years. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're so used to, I mean, a friend of mine used to work at the penitentiary. You know, he was transitioning out, and he was telling me, man, I got to. He said, look, bro, help me with understanding how to develop a business. He said, because a lot of guys, man, when they retire, they're so used to working at the jail that when they retire, after about 3 years, he said, they just dropped dead because they don't have nothing else to do. They got their retirement check. They don't know what to do. Their life, because they've been so used to being at the jail. Because he says, when you work in the jail, you're in jail yourself. But one of the things that's interesting is that this whole thing of people retiring, and you say, wow, they worked and they retired, and within 2 to 3 years, they dropped dead because the only why they had before was to go to work for somebody else. To do what? To pay their bills. And so they don't have a driving mission, you know, in their life. So, you know, again, what would you do if you had all the time in the world to spend exactly as you wanted? How would your life be different if money were not a worry? See, I tell people all the time, you know, if money was not a worry, if money was not an issue in your life, what would your life be like? See, what would your life be like if money was not an issue in your life? See, it's an issue in all of our lives because no one has been teaching us how to get on the other side of money. You know, and that's one of the things, like I said, about the public school system. You know, they teach you how to get a job, how to work for somebody else. They don't teach you how to get on the other side of money. People used to get mad with me in Baltimore because I used to call it the public education system. I didn't call it the public school system. I called it the public fool system because they're fooling people, making people think they're getting an education. And the miseducation of the Negro, Carter G. Woodson said that people who received less education from the public education system, say no more than sixth, seventh, or eighth grade education, was able to better serve African Americans than those with PhDs. He said, because why? He said they were still rooted into people. He said the people with the PhDs, or as Minister Louis Farrakhan said, people with these PhDs, and again, I'm not knocking higher education, but, you know, you got to still know how to serve. People with these PhDs that's got, you know, 50 and $100 words that they use for people that basically using 5 and 10 cent language. I mean, and the parallel between what I'm saying is this, is that they like to talk over people's heads, you know, drop 15-letter words on them, you know. When talking to people, that's supposed to impress people that, wow, he heavy. Well, if he can't explain what he doing, he can't explain it in words and a language, speak to the people in a language that they understand, he's showboating. You know, you got to speak to people in a language they understand. And that's what I tell people also in network marketing. When you got people that you want to accomplish some things, you know, that you're building a team, you better know how to speak to your team in a language that they understand. Now, that don't mean you got to use gutter language. You know, people still speak decent in order, but, I mean, you ain't got to be dropping 15-letter words on people and nobody knows what you're talking about because you want to impress, you know, I got a degree from such and such. But, you know, if you got a degree, that's good. Use your degree to serve, to help, not to make yourself look like you're better than other people. See, because that's part of the problem, too, this attitude that I'm better than somebody else. Why? Because, again, that school system builds that whole class elite kind of thing. That's why the book, One Minute Millionaire, they talk about becoming an enlightened millionaire. You got to, you know, it's nothing wrong with having, you know, a lot of money, but you better still know how to serve humanity. So, you know, what would your life be like? How would it be different if money was not a worry? Write down everything that comes up. See, to those questions, you know, when we said, you know, the questions were, what would you do if you never had to work again? What if you had all the time in the world to spend exactly as you wanted? And what would your life be like if money was not a worry? You need to write those answers to those questions down somewhere in a quiet time. Then ask yourself that again. What is my deep down core reason for wanting to be financially independent? Look deeper. Write down everything that comes up. Ask yourself, again, going deeper, What is my innermost heartfelt reason for wanting to be financially independent? Write down everything that comes up. Continue to ask yourself the question again and again, going deeper within yourself each time into your personal reason why it's crystal clear. Once that personal reason is crystal clear, now you need to frame this and put it somewhere that you can see every day. So your mind can't hit a goal or a target that it doesn't see. A lot of times people tell me, I ask them about their goals, and they say, oh, they're in my head. I said, no, write them down. Your mind functions on what it sees. See, write it down. Your visualization is important, but you still need to have it written down somewhere where you see it. Like one of the things me and my wife, we have written down, we got posters up around in our house. We're always one new person away from an explosion in our business. See, and I believe it. That helps me know that every day, that person that I just passed on the street, did I say something to him? That might be that one new person that's going to lead me to who knows where. But if I don't open my mouth and speak to him, then who knows? I might have just walked past the next Zeke Ziegler or somebody, you know, might just walk past the next Jim Rohn. But if I don't speak to that person and share what I'm doing, I'll never find out. See, how many people, especially this is for those network marketers out there, and then also for people that have you know, traditional businesses, how many people do you walk past every day and not reach out, smile, shake their hand? How you doing? And it ain't got to be a sales pitch talk. Just making contact with people. How you doing? My name is, you know. And people usually respond when you say, my name is. They say, oh, well, how you doing? You know, my name is so. Now and then you're going to have some people look at you. What's up with you? But I found where I'm at now in the South is that people like talking to people. Now, you know, New York City, Baltimore, Maryland, you know, people going to look at you kind of real strange and weird. Cause I remember when I first moved from New Orleans back home to Baltimore. You know, and I used to say good morning to people on the bus stop and stuff. You know, people look at me, good morning. I don't curse on these airways, so I mean, but people would say, you know, what's so-and-so good about it, you know. I mean, that's because they see their job was making them sick. They was on that way to that place they can't stand. And so they had a crummy, miserable attitude, you know. And sometimes, you know, and I used to play not word games, but, you know, little mind games with people to say, you know, why do you go to work? People look at you like you're weird. Why'd I go to work? I got to pay bills. Why do you have to pay bills? What do you mean, why'd I got to pay bills? Because I got bills. Why do you have to have bills? Man, what's wrong with you? Everybody's got bills. No, they don't. You got the bills that you chose, you know, to accept in life. Things that you decided you wanted to be a part of the connection in your life. You're paying the price for them. You know, people, I remember seeing people run up credit cards. You know, I got a credit card. I said, yeah, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay more. People say, why you pay for things in cash? I said, because I don't want no debt. See, debt is a chokehold here in America. I mean, debt is a chokehold. I mean, people, debt is driving people into where marriages are breaking up, people losing their homes, people losing their minds. So financial independence is important, but you got to have a plan, and you got to have a reason why. And if you know, one of your reasons might be because you want to get out of debt. That's a good reason. Then you got to have a plan that you stick to get out of debt. You got to make it work. You also got to do some personal development, people. See, now this is another thing. I've had people come past my house because we do a lot of work from home, and people have come past my house and they see my library, and people look. I remember one lady asked me one time, "You read all them books?" I said, "Yeah, some you know I take and I reread." "You mean you read it once? You reading it again?" I said, "Yeah, because sometimes you reread, you pick up a point that you didn't see before." And then the lady asked me this. So you read all them books, your head don't hurt. I mean, and I laughed, I mean, because, you know, Chris Rock used to do a joke, and he would say that to you know, certain people, a book was like kryptonite. You know, now those of you that know about Superman, you know what kryptonite was. That was, he got around and made Superman lose his powers. He said, but to certain people, books, you know, is like kryptonite. He said, so his joke was this. If you're going to hide money in your house, he said, hide it in a book. He said, because the burglar come in, they ain't touching the books. They're going to take the TV. They're going to go through your drawers, you know, looking for money and valuables in there. He said, but they ain't going to touch their book. He said, they won't go nowhere near the book. He said, so if you're going to hide money in your house, hide it in a book. And it's interesting, too, because when I ended up inheriting my grandfather's, moved into my grandfather's house in Baltimore, grandfather had all of these old books. And it was interesting going through some of them. My grandfather had money hidden in books. And then my grandfather never knew nothing about no Chris Rock. But, I mean, you know, he had old books in the books. Sometimes you'd find, you know, money in the book. I mean, also my great-grandmother, who was my grandmother, my grandfather's mother, you know, she came up through the Depression and stuff, and so, you know, she didn't believe in bikes. So my father told me, you know, she used to take and put money in glass jars and bury it in the yard. And a lot of times my father would have to go out, you know, and she would tell him, you know, it was like a treasure map, tell him how many paces to the right and left and whatever from such and such. And, you know, and dig up and you'll find a jar, and in that jar got like about, she had like $400 or $500 in there, you know, take out to go do whatever they needed to do. But my great-grandmother, she had a lot of houses that she used to rent out in Baltimore. And, you know, people told me that, you know, when people hit hard times, you know, my grandmother was supposed to putting people out, let them pay what they could. Again, she was serving people. She could have been one of them landlords. You ain't got it. You know, she said, in her, you know, and that's why some people had that saying, you know, a piece of pie is better than no pie. You know, she put them out, she'd get nothing. You know, and people appreciated it, you know, according to the stories of my grandfather and stuff, people appreciated it. And, you know, and when things got better for them, they paid, their back rent and stuff like that. Some people she gave a reprieve to and whatever. But the whole thing is, the point I was getting at is in terms of self-development, you know, and got a little off there on a, you know, another tangent, but in terms of the self-development piece, people, you got to read. You got to open your mind to new ideas. You see, other people have traveled the path that you want to go. And one of my mentors, Francis L. Warren, who was the first African-American regional commissioner for HUW, who grew up as a child on welfare to one day manage welfare, he used to always tell me, he said, anything you want to find, brother, he said, you can find it in a book. He said, search, search, search. You can find it in a book. He said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, except for this thing called the Internet. I thought I'd get that in there. But he was just saying that, you know, most of the things that you want to do, someone has done it, have done something similar, and you can find information and answers in a book that will help you be able to move forward with that. So again, you know, today we're talking about what is your why? And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I suggest to people, for those that are looking for an opportunity, a home-based business is one of the greatest businesses that one could start, because there's tremendous tax savings and there's tremendous tax shelter. And I'm going to play a little clip here in a minute by a former IRS attorney who trained IRS people that worked in the IRS, you know, Internal Revenue Service. Did you know that there are laws that are set up for home-based businesses, or what's called small business? And there's two forms that everybody should always be familiar with that has a home-based business. That's Form 8829, Expenses for Business Use of Home, and a Schedule C. If you're not following them and you have a home-based business, you're losing money. You're losing money. Tax shelters is one of the greatest things that a person can do. And so what I'm going to do is we got like 10 minutes left, and this clip is like about 5 minutes. So stay on, those that are listening and those that are in the chat room. Stay on and listen to Sandy Bakken, and then after that, I'm going to summarize today's show and also the information that he gives out, because the year is coming to an end and it's still not too late for people to sign up for home-based business and at least be able to write off the last quarter of this tax year, October, November, and December.
Hi, I'm Sandy Botkin, CPA, attorney, and former trainer of IRS attorneys nationwide. And if you let me, I'm going to change your life. How was your raise? You're probably saying, what raise? How about job security? Do you feel secure at your job? Because I can tell you that 99% of the population doesn't. You heard about this new health care reform? You think that's going to create jobs? What it's going to do is encourage that sucking sound to India and China and Mexico. Let me give you some sobering statistics. There's a day called Taxpayer Freedom Day, which is the day that the average person has to work to pay off their federal, state, and Social Security and Medicare taxes. You know what day that is? I had some people at one of my seminars said December 28th. It seems that way. It's actually April 19th. That means that the average person has to work 30% of their income goes to pay taxes. Now, you can do more, too, depending on the state, depending on your income. In addition, it has been estimated that 30 to 40% of most people's incomes go out to pay debt in some form or committed money. And that includes mortgage debt or rent, because rent's committed, car loans, education loans, and consumer debt. If you add those two things up, the average person is paying a minimum of 58 to 70% of their gross income in taxes and debt. No wonder we can't get ahead. No wonder we can't save money. How would you like to be able to save for retirement, become a multimillionaire, get out of debt in less than 12 years, and cut your expenses the same way? Would you like that? All at the same time. Well, let me give you a secret. In fact, we're going to get two secrets. Number one, 72% of all multimillionaires in this country made it in business. 25% made it as employees, and the rest made it in other ways. So if you have a business, you've got three times the chance of getting rich than working as an employee. The question is, what kind of businesses succeed? And the most common type that work the best are home-based business. And there's essentially several kinds of those, but the two major ones are franchises and network marketing, which is a kind of franchise for opportunity at a home-based business. The benefits of being in business are enormous. For example, you get tremendous time freedom. You work at home, you're at home, you get to see your family. No glass ceilings, which means you don't get any discrimination. No inventory, at least with a network marketing business. No overhead, at least with a network marketing business. No employees in a network marketing business, unlike that of a franchise. With both, you get unlimited income potential. And proven marketing on both. Both show you exactly what you need to do to market your business. But you also get, with any business, whether it's home-based or otherwise, great tax benefits. And the benefits are enormous. In fact, what's interesting, and I'm not saying you should start a business just to have losses, but if your business generates a loss and you're self-employed and you operate that business correctly like a business, that loss can be used against any form of income you have, interest, dividends, wages, rent, pensions, anything. So let's take an example. Let's say you make $50,000 a year in salary, your spouse makes $50,000, and your home-based business generates a $5,000 loss. You only pay taxes on $45,000, the net. Let's say that loss exceeds your whole income for the year. Let's say you're a single individual, and it exceeds your whole income. You can carry back all business losses 2 years and actually get a refund from the federal and state government for the last 2 years of taxes that you pay. You actually get a check. Or you can carry forward all business losses up to 20 years. And offset the next 20 years of earnings. So you never lose a properly documented business deduction. And that is why most very wealthy individuals, most millionaires have said, if you want to be a multimillionaire, you've got to get your taxes down to the legal minimum. And there's essentially three reasons for that. Number one, it's easy and it's effective. And it's effective, let me give you a good example of that. If I offered you $10,000 a year in tax savings each year for the rest of your life, or a $17,000 raise, which would you take? If you said the $17,000, you'd be wrong, because you've got to pay federal tax, state, Social Security, and Medicare on that $17,000. You'll be left with less than $10,000. So the taxes are better than getting it almost 2-to-1 in terms of income. but also it is an incredible residual opportunity to taxes. In fact, it is one of the best residuals around, because if you save money in taxes, it's good this year, it's good next year, it's good the year after. It's like a guaranteed benefit every single year, and that's one of the benefits of network marketing. You get residual income on other people's efforts, which is a tremendous benefit, and you save money in taxes, which is like having a double residual. I promise you, if you get yourself a good home-based business, you will diversify your life, diversify your income in case you get laid off. You will also have a good possibility of being a multimillionaire and substantially reduce your taxes. For more information, if you do anything, take action now, because tomorrow never comes. Get yourself a good home-based business. And for more tax information on that business, go to my website at TRIseminars.com and make your life less taxing.
Now, you hear what Sandy said, make your life less taxing, people. So, again, as you figure out your why you want to be financially independent, since we're using that today, this is Home-Based Business 101. And if you haven't found an opportunity, hey, we have one here for you. You can just give us a call at 252-977-6834. Or you can go to www.zamzoo.com/movements. If you weren't able to get all of that down, again, the phone number is 252-977-6834. If someone else referred you to this show, get back to the person that referred you to listening to this show, because we also have some people that have, you know, that have some opportunities that they're involved in that qualify as a home-based business. And get with that person so that you can take and find a vehicle that can help you fulfill your why. See, because once you've identified your why, you're going to need a vehicle that's going to let you get to what you want to be able to get done to make that why come, you know, reality. You got to have a vehicle, people. And you just heard, you know, again, why I suggest home-based businesses. You just heard from former IRS attorney. See, who would know better? See, it's not, he said, get your taxes to the legal minimum. Now, see, Trump and Kiyosaki will tell you, you know, the legal minimum can also be zero. You hear me? I hope you're listening to me now. They didn't say beat the IRS, cheat the IRS. We want to make sure we always use proper terminology. Get your taxes to the legal minimum. On Form 8829, Part 4, the last part, carried over unallowed expenses to question 42 and 43. Which means, as he said, you got things that you can carry for 20 years. So you got to know how this stuff works. I mean, you know that Donald Trump probably pays less, well, not probably, he does, pays less taxes than some of you out there listening to this call that's making $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 a year or $20,000 a year. He pays less taxes than you do, and he's a billionaire. He knows how the rules work. If you want to participate in something, you need to know how the rules work. So, again, find that quiet place with no distractions to be able to crystallize on your why. Once you come up with your why, you need to frame it so you can see it every day. Your mind can't hit a target that it doesn't see. It's got to be more than this, some people say, in your head. For fellow network marketers is out there listening, this is a great tool to use for your people when you bring new people in, new business partners in. Do not move the product without going over with them their why. I'm telling you, that's why people drop out. They drop out because they haven't crystallized their why. If you're having a hard time retaining people, it's probably because you haven't done this exercise. So do this exercise and then show them the tools that work that will help them, because a lot of times with the tax savings, until they start making the kind of money that they need to make or want to make in network marketing, the tax savings alone will help them out. See, the tax savings alone will help them out because they're giving themselves a pay raise, as I tell people when I go over the tax piece with them. How would you like to have an instant pay raise without your boss giving you one? So, hey, this has been Baba Jahi here on Home Based Business 101 with our today's show, What Is Your Why? And it's time to close out with our theme song, It's My Time. God bless you and thank you for tuning in.
Enjoyed the Success Songs original composition. For music and words that create powerful moments in your day, go to successsongs.com and hear life from a higher vibration.